This meeting is now being recorded.
A number of the masters who preceded you, of course, Swamiji, Babaji, and your own master, Sawan Singh,
yes,
all left writing behind them, or reports or records. How accurate and how pure are those records today?
Truly speaking, you see, this is not to think passed on to papers. It is no, I mean, any land or other thing which is to pass on to paper. It is something to pass on to eyes. So masters never do that. They have never done it.
Well, I mean the writing that they have left behind. How accurate is it?
Why should they take it first? That neither find them.
Sarvachan, for example.
Yes.
And some of the other books.
These books are there, of course. There are two parts of it, you see. One is in poem, prose, and one is in prose. Poem is about some part of it, of the poetry, is from Swamiji himself.
Yes.
And the other part is from Praj Saragram. Both are combined together and known as Sarvachan poetry. There is some other portion in prose. That is not the direct statement of Swamiji. But somebody, while you are in satsang, you are detailed to just convey what was talked there. Third person conveying the talk given by Swamiji to Raj Sarada. So that is prose part of that.
Was Raj Saligram a saint?
Yes, surely, when advanced, there are three disciples of Swamiji. One was Baba Jaman Singh. He was very much advanced in meditation. He went to the higher. Raj Sarangam, very loving and devoted disciple. And there is one of his sadhus, you see, Grieb Das, in the name of. So he initiated only those who were sadhus. Raj Saranam remained at Agra with Swamiji's wife, both together. And Baba Jaman Singh was detailed to come to Punjab and continue his work. So Baba Jaman Singh, this is coming from Baba Jaman Singh. Baba Sawan Singh, then now further. Now, Neetman Swamiji is passed on to those other one, but he's going there also. Raj Saranam has known worship Buddhi Gaya going there. So, these things taught at home, naturally. We do deference. The only criteria, what you get? Women gets that which everywhere, all are creditable. It is for the people to heed, not for anyone else to judge. So we do deference. There are the three prominent disciples of Swamiji. So now, generally these things are passed through, I am not through. There is no, I have been any land or house or anything to pass on. Of course, these things are passed on to them. But this is a gift of the soul, to the soul. So there's the man is trained, you see, like auditor general, everything didn't make, you see, one day doesn't make it, then they say it. So didn't make it, that's also through life. It being made, when it's all it possible.
There's not too much point reading what they've left behind then.
Sometimes it proves not useful, I would say. After you see, just have regard for everybody. It is for people to judge where they can get anything. Yes. If they get the same thing, there can be no fighting. The feud between the givers. Maybe 100 givers, 10 givers, 5 givers. The question of when man is a receives. Then they talk. So I have love for all this. Those who give all the well and good, I love for. Even though those don't give anything, it is for the people to decide why should they pass it. I have respect for.
To change the subject, someone was asking a little bit earlier today, what exactly you meant when you referred in an earlier talk to two souls in one body.
So this morning,
yes,
my wife asked the question. They are married together.
Yes.
Two souls are joined together in matrimony.
Yes.
So they should be one feel one in two bodies. That's what I meant. And every time the obsession, not that. When a marriage has taken one man in companion life, they should have one ideal, one thought, one word, one ideal to follow. They should not be clashing, you see. They should be receptive to each other. So that is what I meant. One soul, two soul, one soul working two bodies. I just gave it to. It is God who unites. One is born somewhere else, the other is born somewhere else. It is the flowing pen of God which unites them. Yeah? When what has God united, they should work together. Whom God unites, let no earthly powers disunite. So they should work one soul in two bodies, live an ideal life and be of service to somebody else too. Animal can be of service to one's own self, but man is man who is of service to his own self as well as to others.
Your exact quote then was one soul in two bodies and not two souls in one
body. No, not that. That becomes obsession. Not that. That only tells well. God is united to remain together through weed or woe.
Yes.
Both make effort to know God. One duty may be obligatory to. One duty, not a. It is not a machine of enjoyment anyhow. The sacred duty is a sacrament. It is a sacrament.
Is this a matter of soulmates, really half a soul, uniting to the other true half-soul, so that...
You see, according to the give and take creation of the past, men are brought together to finish up their give and take. Why not others brought together as son and daughter? This is just to wind up the whole give and take.
This is just a phrase then, really.
Yes. Phrase just to let them know they have to work together and disunite. I think you will have more, better love than this way than the other way. God has united. What is marriage? Two souls. Born somewhere else, brought together. Nobody knows each other. Never dreamt of it. But they come up in a way that united. Having their God before you, maybe ABC. And before so many people. From this day on earth, they are companies of sacred. So that there will be no corruption. To save them. And all those who are united, they should, because God has united them, they will have more love for each other. Your title is just, they must be of use to their own selves as well as of use to others too. Man is one who is of use to others too. Remain a ideal before us to know God, why did that man go?
Does it often follow that people who are married in this life have been married in previous lives?
Maybe, or may not be. Maybe or may not be. Reincarnation is there, isn't it? Definite. Some say it is not. I remember such like people who remember their past birth. They verified. They gave something of which you found. So that's the question.
But you can see it all from the top of the third plane.
Yes, not before.
That's...
Even if you know who is who, then I don't think I'm afraid you would like to see it, say. Otherwise, you're more attached. The attachment already brought us down here. So it's better not to know. It's clear the way back to
Do we meet people in previous lives? That we met them? Do we meet them again? Is a pattern that we keep on meeting the same people all the time?
What does it?
Do we keep on meeting the same people from past lives all the time in our present life, in our future lives?
Not necessarily, you see. Some do we meet, we have to finish our give and take in some other garb. Sometimes you say you don't want to pay anyone anything. Till he forces you, you have to pay, whether you wish it or not. Sometimes you want to help somebody, but with all his goodness, everything, you cannot help him. Sometimes you love somebody. You see, with all good you do, he doesn't love you.
Where is the decision made as to what role we will play in a given life? On the astral level, or does the master make it from Sach Khand, or where?
The only thing you see, as a man to man, as a son of man, when he's united, you see, as it, all this unites, union comes as a result of the past. When they're brought together, we should be very, I mean, devotee because God has united with you. Degree of God, we have been united. As a reaction to our past, to wind up all action, reaction. And both have done the idea before to know God. Pay off all previous sins and don't sow new seeds to sprout forth. That you do only when you become conscious, co-worker of the divine path. Otherwise, every man feels he's a doer. When you are the doer, then whatever you do, that will heal. As you sow, so shall you reap. So if you become conscious co-worker of the divine plan, there will be nobody to reap.
I know Madame Blavatsky used to have this phrase, the lords of karma. Is that a valid phrase?
Lord of karma means negative power. The action, after all, that is controlled by some power. These are things to explain. As you sow, so you naturally get vessel fruit. So we should be very much cautious not to sow fresh seeds, new seeds, because we have to bear the reaction.
What if, in spite of everything we do sow some fresh seeds?
Yes. That you cannot defeat it now.
That means we have to come back in another life?
Well, this is what I say. Now at present we do not know what is the reaction of the past or what fresh deeds we are doing. That we do not know, unless you come to the third plane. Now what to do? Now it is what God has united, pay off, sweet, adjust yourself. Don't think evil of others. That's showing the seed. So thinking evil of others, even in thought, or word, or deed, that means showing the seed. To tell lies, you see, just to say something means something else. So you should have love for God and love for all. That way you won't have any. If anything comes up, there'll be as a reaction on your part. You will help us, you will have to do it. But you do not know. Even if you sow fresh seeds, new seeds, and you become conscious co-worker of the divine plan, that won't react. That will manifest. Because the doer won't be there.
Suppose we don't get to that exalted stage of becoming a conscious co-worker of the divine plan, and we do have an evil thought about somebody. In a future life, how would we have to pay that back? By them thinking evilly of us, or an action, an evil action toward us?
If a man becomes conscious co-worker of the divine plan, he never thinks evil of it. He's working with you. How can he think evil of it? It is all of God, micro God. That's understand. When you get the right understanding, this right understanding, all mankind is one, all are soul conscious entity with the same controlling power. So right thoughts will result in right thoughts, right understanding will result in right thoughts, and right thoughts will result in right speech, and right speech will result in right actions. You cannot do otherwise. So it is better always to be guided by the Lord. You curate, adjust yourself, cooperate to the best you can, leave the rest to God. If you get the guidance, I think, sometimes it helps. Sometimes it helps. To surrender that, the whole thing, and that's very difficult. To surrender completely is very difficult. It is then better do your best and leave the rest of God. But don't think of, if you think of, you have the right understanding, then naturally everything will fall out. That won't be binding. I think the Wheel of Life, you might have gone through it, Wheel of Life. The book, I think that is a little more detailed. See?
Yes, I've read it, but I can stand reading it again, I know.
Digest it more, that's all. Master teachings are sometimes very, but it's a very straight thing. They don't mind who is who. He says, what's the good of coming to be a master? Oh, Master, what is the good of our coming to you if we have to go wrong in the wheel of life? He says, if you go to a lion and be afraid of the jackals, what's the good of? The work of the Master to wind up in his own way. Any reaction which cannot be satisfied, they are made to happen. What little thought can be adjusted, even in thought that is also finished. And the ultimate goal is to make him conscious of the divine plan. Examples are given just like there are loads and loads of wood, heaps of wood. You put a little spark of fire that will all reduce to ashes. Similarly, we got the unlimited number of heinous crimes committed in the past by sin. You have a spark of light on the shadow that burns. That means you become conscious of one. This is something given you. This is just the start to develop. That's not the end all. That you see in light, you, then that you will get the right understanding. You feel impelled to think in a way as inspired. As a man dwells, he feels that way. He becomes immortal. So learned and unlearned are sinful and this and that. Even good actor, man who is doing good action, that is also binding. Change may be of iron or gold, that makes no difference. For binding. So the only way to become conscious co-worker of the demand that he is doing, you are not. You have to become a mouthpiece of God. They speak as inspired by God, you see. And we all have to become that. Nothing to be afraid of. Every king wants his son to be king, not a minister. Do you think? Every saint wants his man coming to him to be a saint. You must, that is why I tell you, you have to become ambassador. I have done my part so far. It is you who have to carry out further. You are the budding hopes of the coming generations, I would say.
You mentioned last night that at initiation, as is just about always the case, approximately one-third or a little bit more of the initiates saw the Master within. Does that mean at that moment when they did that, they became conscious co-workers of God and will always be regarded as such?
That is something to show that that power is within you. All is watching your egypt, whether you see it or not. Then you have to do. Then talk with consciousness. But the power talks within consciousness. That talk. Yes, in that initiation I asked if anybody, Master talked to anybody. Okay, yes. One told me.
Just one he talked to.
No, other than that, only to show there is something. People don't believe that there is anything inside. What is all big talk? What is it? It's all blood and this and that. What is it? Thank God, people are having this. There's a proof for that. You cannot prove to be alive. Go anywhere. Just simply go on doing this, go on doing this, go on doing this, go on doing this, you will have it. The body and hand is better than two in the bush. So, you do something to prove there is something inside. And you testify yourself, you see. When you see, then there is no evidence required to anybody else. Everybody has no, I mean, judgment. But everybody has something, some conviction that you see for yourself. So that's the biggest threat. Don't believe in the words of the Master unless you are convinced yourself that you do see. Maybe little amount. That is the blood.
Well, if you don't believe in the words of the Master before you have an experience, you have a lot of trouble having the experience, don't you?
I said, no. Books are there. A learned and unlearned man both have to do the same thing. Unlearned man doesn't require any proofs or any evidences of the past masters, this and that. Who is who? They don't care. Learned man would like to whether it is true, whether anybody also bears testimony to it. Then he starts very cautiously. So one building is there, there are 100 stairs to reach up to the top. The one learns it, the other is unlearned. The one, all right, you go up at the roof, top of the roof, you see the sun rise. And the other one starts going up. And the other one says, how many steps are there? What might slip down? What is the proof that? How will I be saved? When he goes up 2, 10 steps, he doesn't say, oh, there's no light. How do you as you near the top, you have some light. When you go up, you see. There's something like that. Two men, one learned man and the other was unlearned, both will be master. So the unlearned man says, all right, I've charged a single fee. The learned man came up over there. Hmm. I think free. He said, I've charged you double fee. Why? Because I have to make you first unlearn it and then you stop. Double level I have to do by explaining this and that. Is it not double level? One may come to one, then he came to one way. I don't want any theory. Give me free. Children see light. They don't find any theories or any discussions and what one master said, the other said. They simply say, see light. That's a boost. That's the only criterion of judging whether man really has something to give. What he has to give, that may not be fully. At least something to give. It is start when you rise above body consciousness. With all world philosophy then, there the reason starts. Reason is bad, lead you to mind. People have forgotten this. They have given a whole time in singing this and that thing, lighting candles, this and that thing. That's all right. That's preparation of the good action. But you are the doer. It is just like you say. First see and then say. The difference between saint and other man is that he sees and then says. The other man do not simply read and say. So someone, God is light, God is all light. One who sees is saying, God is all light, that's all right. The man who is blind from the very birth, he has never seen sun, and he has read the book, God is light, is just like a blind man, saying. All are out of performance in what you do. This only to help you prepare the ground for that. That is a reaction they have. Good, reacting good. But no emancipation. Unless it becomes. And the only criterion of a saint can be, he must have something. The man gives very good lecture on business life. Very wonderful, very convincing, very helpful. But to the men to whom he is talking, they have got no money. What will you start doing? Give me some capital to start with. But you read of life, he gave some talents. Sometimes he says, give by parables. He gave to one 5 talents, then 10, the other like that. Then he gave 90, the other 20, he gave 20, the other 10, the other didn't use anything. So these are all things. So he must be able to give something. Is there proof? Where is the proof? There is. Your hundreds of you find. I have been in touch with the world science of the aspirated. Most of you advanced. Some used by what you see, hypnotizing, by some mesmerizing, or by some radiation. Most of them. They are also very few. But you simply go and do this, do what you will have more. All right, be restless of your impatience. Definite. This is on credit. You see, we must have cash.
Do those who take drugs such as LSD and have certain experiences, are they valid experiences?
No. No. The hallucination, any thought reverberating that big 100 times more something. Mind that. Why we stop intoxication, any intoxicating we are conscious beings. The use of anything makes our consciousness morbid. We are not to do. Mm-hmm. That's the death of soul. You follow?
Drugs are
the death of the soul.
Result in death of the soul.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's constitutes a lesson. Lesson there to go on to the lower place. That is all this intoxication stuff. What about LSD then? It is still more death of the soul.
Well, there's, of course, a great deal of talk that LSD is the foundation or the basis of a religion of the future, or at least an improvement on the kind of religion that is now existing.
No, it's a deterioration. Definitely going down to beastlyhood. Mm-hmm. Your consciousness is marred. Animals are also conscious. Even a snake is conscious. But they have different degrees of consciousness still more. If you do saturation, your consciousness is affected. You are intoxicated, means your consciousness is affected. You have to go to the lower things.
Do those who come to you from a background of drug experience start then with a very definite handicap?
Surely. Sometimes it is. They are given double sitting, twice. They are made to sit twice. Hitherto, you see, the men were prepared for that. So they came to the master, they had to live with the master for months, ready, only then to give something. Now the time has changed, you can live with them. So something given all at once at the start, then they should maintain it by itself in total.
Good morning and welcome to the satsang for Master Kripal Singh. The talk you just heard was called Become His Channel and was recorded on September the 4th, 1970 at Sawan Ashram. Our reader this morning is Kurt Hilger. Good morning, Kurt.
Good morning. The talk this morning is from the May 1974 issue of Sat Sandesh. And it's entitled, Your Life Should Show Criteria. And this talk was given in English by Sant Kripal Singh Ji at Manav Kendra, Dehradun, to a mixed sangha of Western and Eastern disciples after the daily evening meditation sitting on March 28, 1974, just prior to the remembranced Bhandara of Baba Sawan Singh Ji, held every year on April 2nd. Hence the reference to the good canopy. The master's post-meditation remarks have also been included. And I'm going to start the reading just after the post-meditation remarks. From the time of man's birth, his eyes and ears being open, he is drawn by the impressions which come through them. From the very onset, we have been receiving these impressions from outside to such an extent that we have formed a superficial way of living, which is not what we truly are, but is only a collection of the impressions received from outside. We are so much absorbed in these outer impressions, we fail to see that which we should be seeing, and that is, in Christ's words, take heed, therefore, that the light which is within thee, be not darkness. In the mother's womb, the child is maintained by two things, light and sound. If, after birth, he begins to cry, simply show him a lighted lamp or ring a small bell, and he becomes quiet. As he continues through life, man is no longer aware of the inner light and sound, but is solely absorbed in receiving impressions from outside of himself, scenery, etc., through the eyes, and voices, etc., through the ears, the two chief faculties for receiving outer impressions. Living a superficial existence, we have forgotten ourselves, the inner light and the inner sound. Through all our outgoing faculties, the five dacoits, or bandits, are attacking lust, anger, greed, ego, and attachment. Lust attacks us through the eyes or the touch, anger through the ears, and the more you hear, the more anger you bolster up. Attachment comes when you cling to the environment around you. As a result of all those born on earth, Kabir Sahib says, we have seen no man happy on earth. You may be a millionaire, even then you are a prey to the five dacoits. King or pauper, the worldly man, the cynic, all are victims through the outgoing faculties. Do you follow this? No man can save you from them, no brother, father, or other, for all are in the same plight as you. We are so much intoxicated with our condition that we cannot even think of anything else. We are quite pleased with ourselves. The basic factor or crucial point in all this is the attention, our awareness. If one's attention is with the ears, one hears, and if it is with the eyes, one sees, and so on. The more you are attracted by things outside, the more you are involved, You cannot be saved from these onslaughts. You may perform any number of penances or practices, but as they are all at the level of mind and intellect, they all relate to the five outgoing faculties. As you are already leading the superficial life and are fully identified with it, how can you rise above it? There is but one way out, and that is to come to the feet of some competent master. The master is also a man like you, born in the same way. He has two eyes, two hands, two feet. But the big difference is that he has solved the mystery of life. He has rent the veil of ignorance. The master says, I am not the body. I am the driving force of the human body, of the machinery of the human body. There is a higher power controlling me, and I am conscious of that. There is nothing and no one in this world that can save us from the onslaughts of the five deadly enemies. No worldly authority or ruling power can help, for everyone is in the same plight. For example, you may go to meet someone who lives in a bungalow, but he has five dogs guarding the place. People do keep dogs to avoid being attacked by thieves, etc. Now you want to go inside and meet the man within, but the dogs will not allow you to enter. One will bite your leg, another will tear your clothes. If you offer them something to eat or money even, yet they will not allow you to go into the bungalow. There is but one way out, and that is to call the one that you want to meet. And when that voice reaches him, he will come out, and the dogs will disappear. When you have met the master, he has two ways of saving you from the onslaughts of the five dacoits. One is his gracious glance. For as long as you sit attentive and absorbed in the master, no harm can come to you. You are safeguarded by his radiation. The reason for this is that all outgoing faculties derive their strength from the soul, the outer expression of which is called the attention. When you have learned how to control the attention by the soul's radiation gathered from all over the body and concentrated at the seat of the soul behind the eyes, then you become attentive. When the attention is attentive, for a little while, the outgoing faculties do not work. Therefore, you cannot be affected by any attacks from outside. His other way of saving you is the very science that this teaches. For as long as you are above the eyes, all the faculties are below. There are two parts of man, one here and one in the beyond. While you are receiving impressions from outside yourself, you are subject to the onslaughts, but he gives you a way up. When a man dies, his eyes are upturned toward the seat of the soul in the body. The master demonstrates this for you at initiation for a while. While you are concentrated at that seat, you see light, which is the outward expression of the God into expression power, and that has two aspects, light and sound. By daily practice of controlling your attention, you will find you can work through any particular faculty you wish. It will be at your command. What is happening at present? We are being dragged like anything by the outgoing faculties, which are in turn being dragged by the outer enjoyments and attractions. How then can the master be met while these five dogs are surrounding you? He will hear the true cry or urge from the heart. Where is he? He is already within you, controlling you in the body, and the body is truly the temple of God. When that true cry reaches the Lord, he makes the arrangements to bring you in contact with someone in whom he is working, and through whom you may have the great concession, the privilege, you can say. No one else can help you in this subject. No relative, no friend, no king or queen or millionaire. It only happens when God condescends. And when he condescends, there is pity. And then he brings you in contact with the one in whom he is working. This is the best way, the most competent way, and the Master is met through the grace of God. That grace descends on whom? On whomsoever cries out from his heart of hearts. Some people have got some background, and that is all right, but they do not know what to do further. Such a person needs further guidance. God's grace must descend to bring him in contact with someone who will take him further. The Master is a man like you, eating and walking like you, earning his livelihood too. If you want to cut down a tree, it is better if you first cut off the branches and then the trunk afterwards. Your trunk will be cut only when the ego is not there, and that happens only when you are a conscious co-worker of the divine plan, and you see that he is the doer and not you. The Master gives you a contact with the God into expression power, the Word, the Nam, the Kalma, the Shabd, and the two aspects of that are light and sound. The more you come into contact with that, the more you will see that he is the doer. This is achieved when you become a Gurumukh and sit face to face with the Master. To meet the Master means something that most people do not understand. There is seeing the Master. People saw Christ also. Those very people who placed a crown of thorns upon his head and nailed him to the cross also saw Christ. Many people saw Guru Nanak, but he was persecuted and banned from a certain town called Khazur, being accused of bewildering the people and spoiling their lives. Some masters were put to the stake, others were stripped of their skin or burnt alive by the very people who saw them. But seeing a master means something far deeper than just seeing. There is seeing, and in Punjabi there is a word called betna, which means when two souls meet together through the eyes. The eyes are the windows of the soul, and when one is absorbed through the eyes, the power working in the higher soul has a radiation which helps one to rise into the beyond. This is what is meant by meeting a master. There are three criteria which show that you have met the master. I will tell you. First, one is put on the way, but that is not the only thing. There are three criteria to judge whether you are following the Master. If you daily put in time for meditation and rise above body consciousness, above the level of all your faculties, to enjoy the higher bliss of the God into expression power or light and sound, to the extent that your outer bliss has less and less fascination, you will lose your outer attachment. What is that? That means if someone dies, perhaps your friend, you do not feel it. Or if someone is born, you are not unduly overjoyed. These are all the results of give and take, reactions of the past. And when you are not affected by them, it shows a way of living. It shows that you have met the Master. During the time of the 10 Sikh Gurus, a man came to the Master and asked him, "Can you show me one of your followers whom you consider to be on the way?" The Master agreed and gave the man a chit, a letter, and the man went off to the town where the follower by the name of Bhikari was living. He showed Bhikari the letter from the Master and was in turn welcomed and invited to stay. Vicari was busy at that time preparing a bier and other items that are used in the funeral rites. The visitor asked about them, and Vicari replied, "Oh, they will come in use." After a few days, the marriage of Vicari's son was celebrated with very jolly arrangements, and throughout all the festivities, Vicari was completely calm and quiet, unaffected by it all. The marriage was performed, and they were bringing the bride home. But on the way, the bridegroom developed a colic and died. When they arrived at the house with the dead body of the boy, Vicari brought out those very things which he had already prepared, still with a calm, quiet, and unaffected manner. The visitor, observing all this, said, "Look here, this is strange. You must have known your son would die. Why else would you prepare all these things? But knowing it, why did you arrange his wedding?" Vicari replied, "Yes, I did know of my son's approaching death and made everything ready beforehand, but I could not change that which had to happen." Do you follow this? When you find God, you develop an attitude of mind. Judge for yourselves. Simply meeting the Master will not do. He has given you a contact to rise above the body consciousness daily. Take up the cross daily. Christ implied that those who did not take up the cross daily were not his disciples. All masters say this. At least one-tenth of one's time should be given, although we have made a concession of 2 hours. Now there is a second criterion. Things happen in life. Sometimes one is rich, sometimes poor, sometimes one is bankrupt and one pays, sometimes one has a golden or silver spoon in the mouth. They are all enjoyments and should make no difference because you are not attached to them. This indicates the second criterion. If you are sick, you are not worried or upset. Outer things do not pinch you, for you are air-conditioned. They air-condition rooms, do they not, to help you to get away from the heat. So nothing affects you. The third criterion is this. If, for instance, a bomb fell and there was danger of your losing your life, you would say, "All right, let's go," without any worry or attachment, quite jolly about it. Now see where you stand, for these are the criteria which show that you have met a master. If you leave everything to the master, he takes care of all your affairs. It happened to me when my daughter died. It was night, and I had to go and give a talk somewhere, a duty given to me by my master. So I told someone, "Please, get everything prepared according to the custom." The custom was to throw the body into one of the sacred rivers. The person replied, "All right, you leave everything to me and I will carry out all that is necessary." My son once fell ill and the doctor announced that his condition was so dangerous that within 3 days he would probably die, and so I should take leave from my work and sit beside his bed day and night, for he might pass away any moment. Of course, I took the leave, but it happened that one of the 3 days was a Sunday, and it was my duty, as ordered by my master, to give a talk at the satsang at Amritsar. Faced with this, I said, "All right, we are all in the Master's lap. We cannot control life and death. It is all in his hands." I left home and went to Amritsar to give the talk. After the satsang, it was about noontime, and as the Master lived in Beas, just about 20 miles away, I thought, "Well, let us have a glimpse of the Master." The day was bright with sunshine, and I reached the Dera at Bayas about 2 p.m. When I entered the master's house, he was upstairs, and though I gave no intimation of my arrival, he sent a man down, saying, "Call him." The master was lying on his bed, but he sat up and asked me, "What about your son?" I told him what the doctor had said, and that I had followed his advice and taken leave from my office work to sit beside his bed. When Hazur asked me for further information, I told him that I had done my Sunday duty at the satsang. For all life and death was in the master's hands, and that I had left the satsang and come straight to Bayas for his darshan. The master sat very quiet, with his head in his hands. I spoke to him, "Hazur, whoever has even a single thought of you for a moment is released of all his worries. And yet, you are sitting like this. How can that be?" He replied, "Well, Kirpal Singh, you have thrown all your burden on me. Do you follow this? If we leave everything to the master, we are saved." You may have seen men from a certain section of the Sikh faith. They wear very big turbans covered with hoops of metal. Well, one such member of this sect was once ordered to climb a tree. He was carrying all his belongings with him, for they have no permanent place of residence, and he promptly started climbing the tree, clutching all his belongings to him. A bystander was observing this, and he asked him, "Dear friend, you have to climb the tree, but you are coming down again. Why not leave your belongings here?" The Sikh replied, "When I get to the top, how do I know that I will not get another order to go on from there? So I must be prepared." Such criteria show that we follow a master. Merely seeing a master is not enough. If you listen to his words, that will only give you one-third of the knowledge. His commandments, the other two-thirds are received through receptivity, and for that you have to develop devotion. These are hints or tips I am giving you. Judge for yourself. People may speak very highly of you or me or anybody else, but you should see for yourself where you stand. It is a great achievement to be free from the dangers and onslaughts of the dacoits of lust, anger, greed, ego, and attachment. Taking your food, your thoughts will be elsewhere, and you will not taste the sweetness of it, to such an extent that at times you will not know how much you are eating. People judge you from these things I am pointing out. They cannot know how far you have progressed inwardly, to the first plane, the second, or third, or fourth, or fifth. They could only judge you from outward things, as I have explained. Take note every day how far you have proceeded. Your progress to date may be good, I am glad, but it is not sufficient. The real ABC of the matter stems from the things I have just been explaining. Your living should show that you have met the Master. See things clearly, and you will not be led away at heart. Often, when I used to meet my Master, there were objections. "Oh, he has gone into the Master again." So much opposition. It is but natural. If you put ducks' eggs among the hens, after the hen has sat on them for some time, the little birds will all be born, some chickens and some ducks. When they all go near the edge of a pond, the little ducks will plunge in, for they have a natural affinity to water. But the hens and chickens will stand on the edge crying, "Oh dear, you will drown, drown, drown." I was the first man in my village to be initiated, and it started some trouble. I was called to the temple there, and I tried to explain to them, finally saying, all right, there is a difference. Why not take a few men, say 4 or 5, and we will go and talk together, heart to heart. You may choose the most learned men. A number of people took a vow to kill me as a result. They fixed a meeting place, choosing the time at 10 o'clock at night, with the purpose of killing me as I walked through the village to the appointed place. But when the hour came and I walked to the meeting place, they did meet me on the way, but had no courage to attack me. Some months after this incident, the ringleader of this plot came to Lahore, and I met him one day in the street. I had once invited him to my home, telling him, "Come, dear friend, have your food with me today." When we reached my house, he sat down and cried. Naturally, I asked him what was wrong, and he replied, "You knew I was the one who had led that plot to kill you, and yet you have welcomed me to your home." He was quite overcome. This is the kind of attitude one can have toward life. You will remember that Christ said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Such criteria will show people that you have met the Master. Even when things go wrong and everyone is against you, glaring at you with hatred, yet within yourself you will be calm and quiet and unaffected by it all. If, on the other hand, you are praised with all honor and grace, even then you will remain quiet and unaffected, not puffed up with pride. Others judge you by these things, and you may also judge yourself. We are all children of God, brothers and sisters in God. We were all born the same way with equal privileges, and he whom we worship is one and the same Lord, though he is called by different names. Some of us sit on a chair like ministers, and some of us are standing to attend, to carry out orders. Such positions are given according to the reactions of our past, and when one really understands this, he remains unaffected by praise or criticism. One receives honor or hatred in the same calm and quiet manner. There is no other way to judge. The more you advance, the more such criteria will take their place in you, without the necessity of praying or demanding for them. Guru Nanak tells us that if one continues hearing the sound principle, all virtues find their abode in one. All virtue will find its abode in you. He also gives an example of grass, which when cut is laid down in a certain place, preparatory to having the seed removed. That place has a special name, and all the grass is taken there for the removal of the seed. So it is something like that, and if you continue contacting the light and sound, all virtues will find their abode in you, of themselves. You may ask why it is necessary to keep diaries. Because we are just on the way. In past ages, the people had to sit at the Master's feet for many years before they received anything. You must have heard of King Ibrahim Adam, who left his crown and kingdom to become a disciple of Kabir Sahib. He lived with Kabir for 3 or 4 years, during which time he displayed a calm and quiet manner, acting in full obedience to all orders, never objecting to anything, ate and wore whatever he was given, sat wherever he was told. Loi, who was the housemaid there, one day asked Kabir, "Well, he has been here so long, can you not give him something?" But Kabir replied, "He is not yet ready." Loi was surprised and asked what more signs of readiness could there be when the king was showing implicit obedience and so forth. Kabir said, "All right, when he leaves the house tomorrow morning, throw a basket full of the household refuse on his head and listen to what he says. Lohi did this, and the king cried, "Oh, had this happened in Bokhara, his kingdom, someone would have paid for this." He was a king, you see, and that kingship was still in his head. Lohi reported the incident to Kabir, who merely said, "I told you he was not ready." It is a good illustration to show us that outer form and action mean nothing, and one cannot judge by a person's actions outwardly. It is a matter of heart, in our very makeup, and how that develops. And I think we'll leave it at that. Again, this reading was from the May 1974 issue of Sat Sandesh, and it was entitled, "Your Life Should Show Criteria." Thank you, Master.
Thank you, Kurt, for reading for us this morning. We had 76 callers at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us. Now, please hang up your phones.